tech we trust. It's the people in charge we're not sure about.
Hi, everyone. I'm here with the In Tech We Trust podcast. I'm missing a few of my co-hosts, but I'm Lauren Malhoit, and I've brought on a couple of guests from VMware, believe it or not, In Tech We Trust, being nice to our VMware friends.
Thank you.
No, just kidding. I love VMware. But we're here at VMworld 2016 in Barcelona, and I'm going to go ahead and let my guests introduce themselves. So, Imad, let's start with you.
Sure. So, Imad Yunus, I'm a senior technical marketing engineer at VMware. I cover vCenter server migrations, the vCenter server appliance, and vCenter in general.
Yeah, so I'm Adam Eckerly. I work with Imad in tech marketing and also cover vCenter server and the appliance, and actually the web client, if I want to admit that or not. Can we cut that out?
Well, we had a lot of announcements around vSphere 6.5 today, right? I imagine that's near and dear to your hearts. Speaking of the client, I guess, there's talk of the HTML. Tell me a little bit about that. HTML5, that is.
Yeah, so currently before today, this was a fling. And actually will remain to be a fling. That's how we'll get the latest and greatest new features out more quickly. But we do have a version of it baked into the vCenter server appliance 6.5. So for now, it's still... it's exciting because we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about this client, but it's not yet feature complete. So, but hopefully we'll see over the course of this upcoming year that we'll get to the point where we have a single client. And it's all HTML5 based, no plugins, none of that crap, and, you know, hopefully it will lead to a much better customer experience.
So basically you could, like you go to a certain port or something and it gives you the HTML5 client instead of the...
Yeah, exactly. So it's still all in port 443, but instead of going to your vCenter's FQDN /vSphere-client, you just go to /UI.
Gotcha.
So similar to the ESX host client, it's /UI. So there's some consistency brewing there.
Gotcha. All right, so tell me a little bit about some of the other 6.5 announcements. We have vSphere Update Manager now on the VCSA, which I think is... maybe my most exciting
So VUM is part of the appliance now, and we actually have, you know, a new deployment. Of course, VUM will be there. If you have a 5.5 or 6.0, we'll be able to bring that in as well. So no longer needing that separate Windows box, and if it's embedded with vCenter, we'll also come over as well.
Retroactive, even.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you always have the hashtag, Adam, of, what is it?
Migrate
to VCSA? Yeah.
So we've been using that for
actually,
a while.
So William Lamb actually was the guy who started that, and we just kind of tagged along.
Well, you know.
Can't beat him, join him, right?
That's right. He's a good guy to tag along after.
Yeah, for sure. But it's interesting. So, like, Update Manager, you would think that it wouldn't be that big of a deal to actually prevent customers from adopting the appliance. You know, we've got this appliance, we've got otherwise feature parity and scalability parity, and it's easier to deploy and manage and all this stuff, yet Update Manager was like this. Yeah.
It was a
holdup
because
thumb.
I had to deploy another Windows box, and if I already had to have one, and what's the big deal managing, you know, two, but now that we have VUM as part of the appliance and a path to the appliance, I think that since they go hand in hand, it makes life a lot easier for customers.
Yeah, those of us running labs and things like that too, who may not have Windows licensing or may not want to, I mean, yeah, if you're in an environment where you have several hundred Windows servers, then who cares? But those of us that don't have that, it's VUM is definitely a nice little feature. When I'm testing my SDN.
It's very exciting. People are very excited about
yes.
it.
Yes.
So. That's awesome. So tell me what else we have going on.
So we have a new migration tool in 6.5, right? So after VMworld US, we released 6.0 Update U2M, which migrated from 5.5 to 6.0 Update 2. In 6.5, we'll actually migrate Windows 5.5 vCenter or 6.0, right, to a 6.5 vCenter server appliance, right, which includes VUM, We preserve the identity of the vCenter server, so that includes the certificates, IP address, FQDN, UUID, all that. So it's the same now, we just kind of add 6.0 as well. So we've given two paths to get to the appliance.
Hey, what if I'm running a distributed switch? Does it work in that case too?
It comes over because we bring over the...
Knock it out.
Yeah, there we go. So it's part of the configuration, right? We bring over the configuration, we bring over the inventory, bring over the alarm data all by default, and then it's up to you if you choose to bring over your historical or performance data, but doing so, of course, increases the migration time.
So are we still doing the install the way we were with the last version where you have to, like, mount the ISO or extract the zip or whatever, however you go about doing that?
So we do have the ISO, but here's the good news. Mac users, Linux users, right? We can now natively mount the ISO and use the installer, right? Of course, Windows still is supported.
Well, I just download 7-zip and extract it, but yeah.
But we can now natively mount the ISO and run the installer. The other big thing is there's no longer a need for the client integration plugin, right? So SIP is no longer needed.
So you don't need administrative privileges on your machine then?
Exactly.
Yep.
Which actually causes me many problems when I'm running a lab in someone else's environment, yeah. And they're like, no, you can't do the client integration. I'm like, really?
But don't we need a plugin still for what?
Yeah, so if you want integrated Windows authentication or smart card authentication in the web client, then we have this, what we're calling the enhanced authentication plugin, a very scaled down plugin that shouldn't, A, a lot of customers won't need it to begin with, and B...
Only those worried about security?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like one, right?
Paging Mike Foley.
But yeah, so we hope that the browser compatibility issues and everything that we're having with the client integration plugin won't be there with the EAP because it does one thing.
Yeah.
You know, so all this other stuff, all this interoperability isn't required now. So we hope it'll be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. So the encryption for the VMs, the new encryption for vMotion, VMs in REST, was that like a major issue before? Speaking of security, I guess. I mean, were you guys getting a lot of complaints about that? I mean, how long have we been running VMs and doing vMotion? I guess it's kind of, I don't know.
It's always been, you know, like when you see these surveys that go out and talk to CIOs, and you know, for the last few years, it's like, oh, security is number one, but no one seems to really be doing a whole lot in that space. So we have seen requests come out, and now we actually have something that can deal with that. But our solution is cool in that it's really VM agnostic, you know. So it doesn't matter if you're running a Windows guest or a Linux guest or even Mac.
Docker.
You know, yeah, containers, right? let's go ahead and encrypt them. And so we just plug into whatever KMIP compliant KMS server customer may already have. We're not reinventing the wheel there. And then also, not only are we doing that at a guest agnostic level, we're also able to encrypt the vMotion traffic. Yeah. So that's a big one for some of the, you know, government agencies and other, you know, financial sectors.
So does that mean people have to finally load that security certificate, or how does that work?
Completely independent. you can make all your VMDKs encrypted and encrypt your vMotion traffic, but hey, use that self-signed cert.
All right. So, what is probably your favorite vSphere 6.5 announcement? What'd you say?
Well, for me, I'm a little biased. Migration. You know, getting to the appliance is a big deal. A lot of customers want to get there. There wasn't a path before. I mean, there was a fling.
Yeah.
Wasn't really supported, but it was an option to kind of get you accustomed to what the appliance would do in your environment. But now we have that supported path. We have two now. And VM integration is huge. So at this point with 6.5 as a release, there's not really an excuse per se to migrate to the VCSA.
Sure. Are there limitations? Is it totally, you know, Does it have feature parity with the Windows-based version? Or?
It has scale parity since 6.0, right?
Yeah.
But as far as feature parity, it surpasses its Windows counterpart because it has exclusive features dedicated to the appliance. So high availability, right? VUM. We have better visibility inside the appliance from a management perspective. And then we have native backup and restore.
And there are new high availability features as well, right?
Yeah, that's actually my favorite feature, and because that's what I talk about a lot. Having that capability, you know, for some customers, it's a checkbox, right? They have to be able to say that vCenter isn't a single point of failure. Mm-hmm. So this solution gives that. But it also is very flexible and easy to deploy. We don't have special networking requirements. We don't require a stretch layer 2 or anything like that. We also don't require shared storage. So the existing HA solution for vCenter involved installing vCenter on top of a Windows failover clustering. Physical mode RDMs, and nobody wants to do those anymore for good reason. And some just the complexity of getting it set up and running. This solution, just a matter of mouse clicks for the most part, and it's all taken care of for you. And then there's enough flexibility built into it for this initial release that we think a wide swath of customers are going to really benefit from it. And then, again, we're going to continue improving it and evolving it. And, you know, we'll see what happens in future versions, but it may become even more robust.
So a lot of people are excited about the vVols announcements. Can you tell us anything about that? Or is that not your cup of tea?
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
No. Fair enough. Anything about vSAN? You guys have any comments there?
No.
Fair enough. vRealize Automation. Any other announcements today that you're excited about?
I saw VRA 7.2 hit.
And LogInsight, I think 4.0 came out today as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
You're very excited about all those announcements.
Yes, absolutely.
VCSA, all the deployments. That's all we care about.
Yes. All right, well then tell me more about VCSA or vSphere in general, you know, vCenter.
Yeah, so one of the things that we talk about with customers a lot is just, you know, the appliance adoption. We talk about reasons why to adopt the appliance, but still, it's a different platform. You know, we've got a lot of Windows admins out there that just might not be comfortable with a Linux machine. We also have PostgreSQL that we're using in the appliance, and you know, there's a lot of Oracle or Microsoft shops out there that are thinking, wow, you know, not only do I have an OS change, but I also have a database platform change. How do I cope with that? But if you really look at what we're trying to accomplish with the appliance model, it's so that care and feeding that you have to give those other systems, you don't have with the appliance. You know, so like SQL roll-up jobs and things like that, we take care of all those things for you in the appliance. It's prepackaged. We have control over all that stuff. And it's not general purpose, right? It has one purpose, one application. We know the workload characteristics of our own application. And so we can take some liberties with configurations and things to make sure that it runs and does its only job very well. And so as long as, you know, this is a road and a path. I'm not going to say we're 100% there, but what we want for customers is we want you to interact with vCenter either in a UI or an API.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get in and troubleshoot things on the appliance and via CLI, you know, that will remain available for the time. You know, we're always going to have to do troubleshooting. But as far as like a day-to-day type of operation, we don't want customers to have to worry about that. So we want to make things super easy and continue to expose more monitoring and things like Ahmad talked about earlier. Via things like API and
I would say we're basically taking over day one, making sure it's simple, and then giving you back day two.
So I've read that, and it's both announced today, that the APIs have kind of been re-engineered even. What does that mean? Are there more open APIs now? Is everything open? Is, you know, what's new around the APIs?
Yeah, so now we're moving away from SOAP over to a RESTful API. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also one of those things when we announce gets a ovation. It's been a long time coming. Alan Renouf has just been doing an amazing job with that work. And Kyle Ruddy, our counterpart on the technical marketing side, has been doing a lot. We also saw the Power CLI core fling either yesterday or today at the time of this recording. So that's exciting. Now we can run our Power CLI on Mac and Linux, which is just amazing. And now we've got things like DCLI, data center CLI, that is really cool. If you haven't seen it, you know, we can put Kyle on it on a follow-up show or something. But he's got some content around that.
Briefly, I mean, just what is DCLI?
Well, so if you think about, like, one of the things that is interesting about the RESTful API is that Power CLI is, you know, one way to interact with that, right? But DCLI was sort of built kind of for this purpose, to work with the API. So having little features like if you use like an IDE to create your PowerShell scripts, like you have some like autocomplete and you start typing a command, you get a list of commands to kind of make it easier to create those scripts. You get that kind of functionality with DCLI. So it makes managing your data center a little bit easier from command line if that's the kind of stuff that you're into. And also, this is something that could, you know, kind of umbrella not only vCenter, right, but our entire SDC infrastructure. So a common way to manage all these things.
You're getting the nod from the man himself.
That's good.
So everything's moving towards a more programmable, you know, as Alan Renouf, I'm sure, is very, very pleased about. But a more programmable infrastructure, you know, not just from a vSphere point of view, like you said, but from the entire stack, essentially.
Exactly.
Awesome. So anything else do you guys have to talk about regarding the VCSA?
We just released a SDDC discovery tool. That was, I think, a couple of days ago. But if you remember the old vCenter maps, where you can go in and see, hey, my vCenter is connected to this storage, this network, etc. So we have this discovery tool where you can go in, enter in the FQDN or IP address of your vCenter server, you know, enter in your credentials, and it's going to go out and kind of do a scan and come back and say, oh, here's your vCenter server. It's connected to two PSCs or three PSCs. Here's the number of the hosts. It's going to kind of show you your mapped out topology, in a sense. So that was just released a couple days ago. Pretty cool tool.
Is that a takeoff of the old tool that map dependencies?
Oh, Infrastructure Navigator?
Yes, thank you.
VIN. A little bit. It's not quite as concerned about trying to, you know, see
more
what's
topology.
Talking to who on what port.
Yeah, this is more just to kind of give you a holistic view of what your vSphere topology looks like, right? So if I have NSX in my environment, you know, how many PSCs do I have? How this all connects together, right?
Did anything change around the PSCs or single sign-on or anything like that?
Yeah, so we had some scalability improvements. Architecturally, it is very similar to what it was in 6.0, so there's not a huge change there, but you know, in 6.0, we had a maximum of 10 vCenters per SSO domain. That's now gone up to 25. And also this shell game of only supporting 4 vCenters per PSC and trying to figure out, okay, if I've got 10 vCenters, what's the minimum number of PSCs and at what site and all that kind of stuff. That all kind of goes out the window, and it's a much simpler architecture in that one PSC can support the maximum number of vCenters. So maybe you just add another one for a pair for high availability, but we don't need to worry about a formula to try to figure out how many PSCs we need to support our infrastructure. We can do it with just one.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
A lot less complex, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Well, very cool, guys. All right, well, we have one more segment left in the show for those of you who watch. We do a hot or not at the end of most episodes. So today, and thanks to @comsninja/AmyLewis, she gave me the idea of hot or not self-support turtles. Meaning, there was a whole article on a man who rode with a turtle. Duck. I was thinking turtles. Let's go with turtles. Yeah. Because I know VMware... Is it ducks or turtles?
Turtles.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Because I know VMware is famous for their turtle pond. I want to know if a support turtle, you know, someone to pet and cuddle up with when you're scared on maybe a cross-Atlantic flight or something like that, if you think that's hot or not, and tell me why.
Man, I for me, it's not hot, but if I was... the benefit of it, though, would be if you're particularly lazy and you don't like chasing kids or pets around, you know, this
pretty
turtle,
slow.
Yeah. That would make it kind of easy. But, you know, turtles snap at your fingers, and, I mean, can you really cuddle a turtle?
Yeah, it's kind of, I would say not. I mean, it's kind of slimy and and all that. And it's just, and what if it gets ran over? I mean, the shell just kind of,
it's kind of nasty.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, what about ducks? Since that was actually the article and I just totally forgot.
Have you ever met a duck? They're mean.
Yeah.
Not one that I like.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Ducks, not hot for me.
Not,
animals in general, that for the use of comfort.
I mean,
I'm a dog person.
Yeah. Yeah. I like dogs. I could see that. I don't know that I'm the type of person that I could take a dog on a plane or like anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that that option is there for people that might benefit from that.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining. Let's do some plugs real quick. Adam, if you go ahead and plug yourself.
Yeah.
Go plug yourself.
So at X79 on Twitter. And, you know, find me on the vSphere blog, blogs.vmware.com/vSphere.
Awesome.
Yeah, so on Twitter at Ahmad_Yunus, also blog at ahmadyunus.com, also on the vSphere blog as well.
All right, thanks guys, and that's it for In Tech We Trust.
Thank you.
Thank you.